Hail cheaters, and welcome to another episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. I am here, my name is Brandon, and I'm joined on the other line by Josh.
Hello, Brandon, how are you?
I kind of just run into that, like, cold, and I never know exactly how it's going to come out. But there,
I know,
it was very declarative. I am here.
Because we're always talking for a few minutes before the podcast, and you're very loose and normal, and then it starts up, and it's like this very stiff, formal introduction.
Anyway, I do apologize to the listeners. I'm recovering from a cold, so if I sound more nasally than I typically do, that's why. But
yeah, we're from the Midwest. We're always pretty nasal.
Yeah, I'm gonna be punching the cough button quite a bit during this podcast. Hey, Josh, I wanted to start things off reading an email that we received through alwayscheating.com. Okay. I don't know if you remember this from last episode, mm-hmm. where you actually were telling us about this great product that we can buy. Riyad Mahrez, star midfielder of Leicester City, is a legend for reading audiobooks.
That is true. Actually, that is not true.
Oh, well, see, because one of our listeners, actually Luke, wrote in because he has been out there looking for Riyad Mahrez's audiobooks. I believe he had some books called Tall Story and another one called Remembrance of Things Past.
What is Tall Story? Oh, Tolstoy.
So poor Luke read your Midwestern accent saying Tolstoy as Tall Story, which I do like that because I don't think that Mahrez is a terribly tall person.
My word usage, that's not even the right word. My syntax can be a little off sometimes.
So anyway, Luke, we're really sorry for leading you on a wild Google chase there for Mahrez's audiobooks. But when we're not talking about pure FPL stats, you can take what we say with a grain of salt, I think.
Yeah, so just kidding about that.
But Luke's team name, the Diving Bar Studs, he apparently just joined the Hail Cheaters mini league a couple weeks ago. So I wanted to offer a big welcome to Luke. And speaking of, let's check in with the Hail Cheaters mini league.
All right. So we're recording this a couple days earlier than usual because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So we're not going to linger too long in the mini league because a lot of things are still up in the air at this time. There's one match left to play still, and the Crystal Palace match tomorrow.
Sunderland.
We can say that Isle of Nabumbu, Gareth Mel's team, is up to first place.
Yeah, huge 79 points off of the 2-day weekend. So well done to Gear.
Yeah, he's 12 points ahead of Colin Bothwell, but Colin Bothwell has three players in tomorrow's game, including two Crystal Palace defenders, which I believe you do too, right? You have a Crystal Palace
keeper. Yeah, I am starting Hennessy in goal, and I do hope that Hennessy continues his run of starts. I know that Colin Bothwell has McCarthy, Hennessy's counterpart, in his starting lineup.
Right, and you and I have In our 50 buck cup, our head to head matchup, I'm in a long losing streak right now, like longer than
maybe six
we've
on
ever
the
had.
Bounce.
It's yeah, if I think it's four on the bounce, or maybe more actually, because I was up 4-3, right?
So you were up in that.
Yeah,
yeah,
so I think
I got
it's
the hot hand.
Yeah, so five in a row for you. So I have 65 points all out. And no one left to play. And you have, I think you have 61.
I have 61. So I need 4 points from Hennessy.
All right. So you just need a clean sheet.
A clean sheet or a shitload of saves.
Yeah. Yeah. So the save, that seems a little high for a save count, but yeah, I think, yeah. So you need the clean sheet. It's going to be
like if you look at a guy like Adrian today against Spurs, he got 8 saves, but in the process, you're going to see a lot of goals get scored if you're being peppered that much. So he ended up with a total of 2 points.
Right.
Weird game, that one. But we'll get I will be screwed if Hennessy doesn't start over McCarthy because I'll have Joe Hart coming in off my bench.
Yeah, so on the last episode of the podcast, I don't even know why I'm doing this because I'm really hurting myself, but I've been pleading with you to make these moves. I insisted that you start Hennessy over Joe Hart, which you did. But I also insisted that you play AU and bench Pele, and you took one of the two pieces of advice. can you walk me through your feelings Saturday morning when you watched the awful Southampton match and saw you had to know what was going on in that in the
yeah I actually
Swansea fixture.
I wasn't watching either of those matches.
You had to feel pretty good when Bournemouth went up 2-0, right? Like, decision justified.
Oh, absolutely. That felt really good. IU has just been a thorn in my side for this entire season. He's caused a bench dilemma for me. The one week where I did actually play IU, Mahrez was on my bench, and he got the brace. So I really didn't feel bad about it. And the more logical option, if I'm looking for like in my midfield, is I probably would have benched Mahrez instead of Pele. And yeah, there was only a 4-point total difference between Mahrez and IU there.
Yeah, I suppose if you weren't going to bench Pele, I just felt like that that Bournemouth defense is so bad right now that, I mean, you I think any team that plays, like, if you have a player in a team that's playing them right now, that player has to be considered a captaincy option. I mean, assuming it's a midfielder or a forward option. Like next week, Everton's playing Bournemouth, and it'd be very hard for me not to captain Lukaku in that match.
Oh, absolutely.
Even now that I have, I have Aguero back now, and so it's that temptation to just captain Aguero all the time. I mean, they're home next week to Southampton, but I just don't know how you can pass up captaining somebody that is good as Lukaku against a team like Bournemouth.
Yeah. I've got to be honest with you. My hope with that Southampton-Stoke game was less that I'd get a goal out of Pele, but more that I would just get a goal out of Southampton to rob you of the Butland clean sheet.
Yeah, I know. How bad would I have felt if Butland lost the clean sheet?
And Schmeichel got one. After playing Schmeichel for 2 weeks in a row, yeah.
Oh, that would have stung.
I mean, I think I speak for the entire FPL game when I say Pele is out, and I have already made my moves to get Pele out and Aguero in. And we can talk about this a little bit more as the pod goes on. But, how could I be surprised that Pele didn't score here? He's been on such a cold streak. Classic Graziano Pele.
I knew the second I brought him in. You know, it was, I don't know. I'm not sure.
12 points out of 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, all of the underlying stats, this is, going back to the last international break, all the stats implied that he was – He was in great form, and they had great fixtures coming up. It was how could you not, bring him in? And it has not worked out at all. And I had a feeling, it's, you need some blend. It can't just, some people can just play by stats, and that's just, but that doesn't even seem that fun to me, right? You need some blend. You got to trust your instincts a little bit. I mean, if all you're doing is just, it's not like we're playing, in $10,000 leagues or something, where making the right decision is more important than having fun. You still want to.
Thanks, coach.
Yeah, well, I just mean that you still want to feel like the decisions that you're making are based on your read of the situation or your feeling about what you've seen so far. I mean, if all you're doing is just crunching numbers and putting in the player who's the most logical choice every game week, then it's just that to me isn't very fun, especially over 38 weeks.
Oh, yeah. When you see a player that you put in because of stats as opposed to your own intuition and that player does well, it's far less satisfying than when you, punt is putting it too strongly, but when you know you acted on your gut and your eye test.
Yeah. And you need a little blend, I mean, like our friend Trevor tends to bring in people like
Nemanja Matic.
I could have just said Matic. He'll bring in Matic because he just feels like Matic is a good player and do or whatever, sure.
It's the great Schneiderlin syndrome.
We need to have Trevor on soon, actually, because he is – his way of looking at the game, very good friend of ours, has been playing in the league as long as all of us have.
Yeah, he knows as much about the Premier League as any of us do.
He does, but his approach to the fantasy game is so unique that it'd be worth having him on to talk about.
nice use of the word unique there.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to review Game Week 13, but quick, let's just talk about the elephant in the room, which is Sergio Aguero. He's back. He scored an absolutely magnificent goal against Liverpool in a losing effort.
Well, why don't we just – let's just jump right to that game. How about
– Okay, sure. So City versus Liverpool, 1-4. Liverpool come out in absolutely scorching gegenpress style.
It was incredible. I mean, Firmino and Coutinho looked incredible. I mean, they really should have had probably – I mean, they scored 3 in the first half. I feel like they could have scored 5. I mean,
it's
absolutely amazing.
And the goal with the Emery Chan backheel pass, it was reminiscent of that Arsenal goal that Jack Wilshere scored against Norwich last season.
Yeah, as an Arsenal fan, it made me a little jealous to watch that Liverpool team because how exciting must it be to follow that team right now? You know, yeah. I mean, it feels like a team on the rise. You know, I know it's just one match and they lost to Crystal Palace last week, but it's impossible to watch that game, you know, at the Emirates,
yeah,
or at the Etihad, excuse me, and not feel like a team that's going to possibly challenge for a Champions League spot this year.
Yeah, and it will only get better as they go, but you see that it will need to because their fitness level doesn't seem to be quite at the level. In the second half, you saw Liverpool just fading. All their players looked pretty shattered from how hard they were pressing the entire first half.
Let me ask you this, Brandon. This is not quite a fantasy question, but if you had to... Yeah, 13 weeks into the season, if you had to guess who the 4 Champions League spots would go to at the end of the year, who would you pick?
I would pick City, United, Arsenal, and Spurs.
Yeah, that was what my thought was initially, too. The Spurs game that we just watched today is throwing me off a little bit. It'd be tempting to – I mean, it's sad that we're not even considering Leicester here, given that they are the actual first-place team.
Yeah.
I think I might go City, United, Arsenal, and Liverpool. I actually feel that strongly that Liverpool is just going to keep – I mean, I really have a lot of faith in Jurgen Klopp, and I have – going back to the Bundesliga days. And, I mean, you just saw with – I mean, that was – I mean, we saw Firmino and Coutinho absolutely tear it up. And arguably, their 2 best attackers weren't even on the pitch with them. And maybe you could argue that they played better because they weren't there.
Right.
But if you can find a way to combine Coutinho, Firmino, Benteke, and Daniel Sturridge, you were looking at a really potent strike force.
Yeah, Benteke was totally put on blast there when he came in late in the game and he had that breakaway when he was one-on-one with the keeper. But
did he get the assist for that Martin Skrtel goal? I can't remember. I think he did kind of chest it down.
He did get the assist.
He did get the assist on that, yeah.
But he was just so slow, and you do wonder how frenetic it appears that Klopp wants that team to play. I don't see Benteke really fitting in there. He's probably better suited for a plan B option.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I doubt that he would want to stay if that's – I guess you just never know. I mean, over the course of a season, yeah – it does seem like Sturridge has more gears. You know, Sturridge can play as a forward. He can play. I mean, he really is a natural forward, Sturridge. But I think that he probably can. I mean, certainly got the legs, right,
yeah,
to play the gegenpress style.
Well, you had some very good fortune in this game, Josh, with Martin Skrtel, who, my God, for the last month he's been one of the best defenders, bar none, in the league, I think.
Yeah, I think my fortune, it kind of evened out at the end of the day because I got totally fucked on that De La Feo assist that didn't get counted somehow. I mean, he had a shot on goal that was so good that all what's his name, could do. All the Braguas and the worst keeper in the league could do was like knock out this fizzling shot that would have gone in.
Sure, like the cat that he is batting at a piece of string
away, and then it was an easy tap in on the rebound off the shot, which even the Fantasy Premier League website said that it was a tap in after a save by Guzan, after Guzan parried away a shot.
Yeah. Then let's see. What do they actually say on the homepage?
It was something like that it was a pass to Kone, right?
So here on the homepage of the FPL game, they say no assist was given to De La Feo for Everton's first goal, as Opta determined he was trying to pass to Kone rather than shoot. Assists are not given for significantly deflected passes.
Just seemed like an incredible judgment call to me, right? I mean, if the shot is on goal, whether it was intended to be a, you know, as the men in Blazers say, a chasse,
uh-huh,
you know, it would still look like a shot to me. I don't know. What did you think? Did you see the replay?
Yeah. And De La Feu in that position is going to shoot. And yeah, it was a shot.
It was annoying because I burned 4 points this week. I had to replace Bone, which is for the best long term, and I had to get rid of Payet, and so I brought in Delafeu and Aguero, and I really went back and forth on Delafeu. I actually didn't really think about Barkley. I thought Delafeu was the better option given his form, and you know it's unfortunate that Barkley played so well, but I don't feel too bad about that because I really wasn't.
Yeah, because I see Delafeu being a more consistent player. I am kind of shocked at the size of the Delafeu bandwagon.
He just looks great. I mean, he looked like the best player on the pitch in that Everton game. No attacking points, but you know he had a pass to Kone that inspired actually probably Guzan's best save of the game, and just looked really dangerous throughout. So, you know, I don't feel too bad about that one because the fixtures are so good coming up. And
yeah,
I just
so if you look at the Everton fixtures through the end of the year, they're away to Bournemouth, home to Crystal Palace, away to Norwich, home to Leicester, away to Newcastle, home to Stoke. That's really money in the bank, right?
It really is. I mean, Everton could really be in fourth place at the end of that run, or certainly in one of the Europa League spots.
So, Delafeu and Barkley aside, Lukaku has to be a must-own striker, right?
I think so. Given his price, I mean, you just can't. It's the best value in the league right now, given how well he's performing and how good their fixtures are. I think that if anybody had Pele and still doesn't have Lukaku, I think that's a really easy move. I would even argue that I would move to if I didn't have Lukaku, I would move to bring in Lukaku before I move to bring in Sergio Aguero.
Yeah,
it doesn't require as much surgery. You know, I mean, you can probably make that a straight swap without you know burning 8 points to bring in Aguero or something. I mean, you know, Man City's fixtures aren't that good coming up. They have Southampton at home, Stoke away, Swansea. I mean, the Swansea at home fixture is a pretty good one, but
yeah.
Then they're away to Arsenal, so it's not
the big city fixture is on Boxing Day, home to Sunderland. That's a triple captain Aguero day.
Yeah, it really is, and in a way to Leicester too. I would argue that triple captaining anybody around the Christmas fixtures is a little bit dangerous.
Oh yeah, the rotation risk is really insane.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I've said before that I feel like I'm not going to use any of my chips for like the first 38 weeks or whatever, but I think, you know, then in particular, it's really it'd be really dangerous to use it for a single game week.
Right. So just to finish off the Man City Liverpool fixture here, Liverpool looked incredible, and their fixture run now is Swansea, Newcastle, West Brom, Watford, Leicester, Sunderland. That's incredible. My main concern having Nathaniel Klein in my defense is he's now on the suspension tightrope with 4 yellow cards.
Yeah, but you can't get rid of him now.
No, I can't. And even if he does get a yellow next week, I'll just have to ride it out and bench him. But
Swansea, Newcastle, West Brom, Watford, Sunderland, Leicester. I mean, their fixtures are really good the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, and if Klein doesn't end up with at least an assist or a goal out of that run, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I agree.
Really will. He is due for some attacking points.
I agree. I mean, that the Skrtel goal was fantastic. Really, really. Get into it because I started complaining about Delafeu.
And the only reason those points come into play for you is Skrtel was on your bench, but George R. Russell Martin did not play. Had started in your squad.
It was great luck. So we'll get to a Twitter question quickly, which is from Colin Bothwell, who says, was it luck or skill for Josh Lennon to get the Skrtel auto-subbed off the bench? And obviously that is pure skill. I knew that George R. R. Martin wasn't going to play, and I wanted to fool everybody with my skill.
You know that George R. Russell Martin is in heavy work mode to finish the next book of the Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah,
so there's no way he's getting into that game.
Kate saw that tweet. My wife saw that tweet, and she really enjoyed it too. She was laughing about it.
Let me actually take this question, Colin. It was pure luck. Pure luck.
You know what? I was overdue some luck. I've had a very unlucky season.
I agree. It's good to see Josh with the smile on his face. Let's say with that amount of luck, we will officially retire the hashtag save Josh.
Yeah, I agree. Getting a 9-pointer off the bench for I think it was the right decision to. I mean, I don't even in hindsight. I mean, you know, I guess if he hadn't scored the goal, it would have been a neutral decision. But I mean, you never really want to. It's not like he's a fullback or something where he can get assists. I mean, Martin Skrtel, he's either going to score a goal like that or he's going to get 2 points.
Yeah.
So George R. R. Russell, George R. R. Martin, seemed like the better choice. I mean, now it's like, is he still going to play? I mean, it was strange that he didn't play.
The FBL site is now saying he is doubtful for personal reasons, so I'm not sure. I haven't actually done any Googling, but maybe there was a death in the family, or maybe it was his birthday. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're listening, George R. R. Martin, happy birthday.
That man loves
or
his
condolences.
Birthday. Always takes it off.
So, as I said, I immediately got Aguero in when I saw Pelé was suspended for his fifth yellow card.
Yep.
Because Pelé is, to use a term we coined last week, dog shit, and let's get him out. Aguero is must own it when fit.
I'm bringing Pelé out too, and I think Jamie Vardy is finally coming in.
Nice. It's about time.
Can you
time.
Believe it? It's about time.
Yeah. So how does that feel to bring him in after 10 consecutive goal weeks?
It doesn't feel great. I won't lie to you. It does not feel good. It doesn't feel fun. But I think
it's sort of like a piece of fashion that you don't, it's not particularly to your taste, but it's gotten to the point where all of society is wearing that thing.
Exactly. It's like cargo pants on khakis.
Yes,
circa 2000. It had to happen.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to probably burn 4 points again this week because, I'm going to take out, a Leicester defender and bring in, I think Wes Morgan's going to go, and I've got enough money that I could turn Wes Morgan into some defender, some like $6 million defender, probably an Arsenal defender. So my thinking right now is to wait until after Arsenal's Champions League game on Tuesday, see who plays, make sure no one gets injured, and then probably bring in an Arsenal defender, and then Vardy too. So,
yeah,
kind of giving the game away here a little bit. But I guess you admitted you brought in Aguero. So, who else did you bring in? Two players because you didn't use your transfer, right?
I did not use my transfer in game week 13, so I had two free this weekend to spend for game week 14. So De Bruyne was the guy on the chopping block.
Yeah,
that makes sense. He just wasn't performing. He looks a little lost out there without any other creative midfielders.
Can I guess who you brought in?
I'm gonna guess
Dele Alli.
I did bring in Dele Alli. And I can't even be mad that Alli picked up that fifth yellow, a stupid yellow. So he's immediately banned, but it does save me a benching headache.
That's true.
At 5.0, fair enough.
Yeah. I completely missed the four yellow cards for Alli. I actually tweeted this out on our Twitter feed. I totally missed the that he was on four for some reason. I feel like I knew all the other key players that were on four, but I missed it with him. So
yeah, he's slowly been creeping up the pitch. Like, I feel like when he started playing in that Spurs lineup, he was playing more a Francis Coquelin sort of role. And that's a role where part of the job is to pick up yellow cards.
You see that with a lot of young players, though, too. I feel like back when Raheem Sterling was coming up and, you know, when he was playing for Liverpool at 18, 19, I feel like he was racking a lot of those up, too.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that with Callum Chambers last year too. I remember he picked up five in the first like 10 weeks or so.
And the England international match where Alli was basically man of the match, all those goal chances came from him doing well with well-timed slide tackles in the middle of the park. So if part of your game is well-timed slide tackles, I see a lot of yellow cards there.
So this actually ties in just as we're wrapping this fixture up. El Magico asked, do you think managers who sell KDB to fund Aguero will regret it in the coming weeks? So Brennan, that's a question right after your own heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You could regret it. I mean, there are a lot of things that I have already regretted. And the only other options there, the problem is there are so many good players to pick up in FPL right now. No matter who I sell, I was going to regret it. I mean, Andre Ayew has been getting stay of execution after stay of execution.
Yeah, it's a weird season because everyone is performing well always.
Yeah.
And it's like no one has an off week. I mean, even like Harry Kane's two goals today, it was like I couldn't be mad about it because it's like, well, this is like how it is this year. Everyone scores every week. It's like there's, you know, it's absolutely wild how consistent all of the key fantasy assets I've been, like, across the board. Yeah. You know, I mean, it didn't really matter who you captained this week. Like, very, you know, I guess if you captained Sanchez, you might have felt a little screwed. I suppose if you captained Vardy over Lukaku, you lost yourself 5 points, which isn't that much, really.
Yeah. But still, you know, doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I mean, Mahrez, you would have had 9 points. There was really, you know, you weren't too screwed anyway. You know, even if Ozil got you 8 points.
Yeah, but here's the logic with De Bruyne. He's obviously a fantastic player, and he'll come good later this season. But he has not looked good in that City lineup for the last few weeks. And if you're bringing Aguero, that's City cover. So
yeah,
if you need the money, I would take De Bruyne over Sanchez in a heartbeat, because you're getting that cover, City cover, with Aguero.
And we've got a question here from Sushant20, just to get the Man City questions out of the way. With so many striker options, isn't it a bit knee-jerk to consider bringing Aguero in when he's not even fit to play the full 90?
That's crazy. This is crazy to me.
I mean, I did say that I think that if you didn't have Lukaku already, which I think most people listening to the podcast probably do have Lukaku, but if you don't have Lukaku already, I would move for him first, and then I would move for Aguero second.
Yeah.
But Aguero looked fine. He really did. I mean,
that shot was sublime.
It was a great shot. He wasn't maybe quite as involved in the action as he could be. It didn't seem like he was.
Well, I'll tell you why, because City just were total shit in the middle of the park. Yaya Toure was having a picnic there in the center circle.
It was very surprising. I feel like Yaya Toure has been subbed off a couple times this year. At halftime, and I mean, it's shocking they
still give that guy the captain's armband. He just hurts
the way
that
he drips in and out. I know his work rate can be so poor sometimes.
Yeah, I am heartened by that performance by Aguero, because even though he wasn't involved, he was running through the channels. He was trying to get behind the defense. He looked fit and ready to go, in my estimation.
My hope is that he doesn't play in the midweek Champions League fixture, which I don't think he will, because Man City have already. They've already gone on to the next round. I think it's in Turin when they play Juve. So just leave them at home.
Yeah, put them in one of those hyperbaric chambers.
Yeah, they can probably lose. I think they can lose that game and still get first place in their table at the Champions League table in their group if they win their final home fixture. So I there's really no reason to play him. And they said all along that he wasn't going to play the full 90 anyways. I actually thought there was a chance he might end up playing the full 90, because their defenders were having
a real nightmare. And that coming into the second half, City looked like they could get into it. But as soon as Aguero came off, that City team lost all of its impetus.
Man, Gala, it's such a howler of a game. Just terrible.
That entire defense. Sanya, Demichelis, they all look terrible.
It was fun to see that Liverpool. It's fun to see a team like that in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like they like punched him in the mouth on the road. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Like it was really thrilling. I mean, not even, you know, I mean, I did have a couple players in the game, but just as a fan of the sport, it was just really fun to see.
Yeah. All right, so during all these early morning fixtures, I actually decided to watch the Newcastle-Leicester match with the assumption that all I would have to do is wait like a good 30 minutes and I'd see Jamie Vardy get his record-tying goal.
Uh-huh.
And I kept looking at Twitter, and everyone was talking about how amazing the Chelsea-Norwich game was going on.
Uh-huh.
So the moment I switched over, I see all these tweets like, Vardy! So I missed his goal, which was kind of a bummer.
I took a little break from Twitter around that time.
I just didn't know which game to surf to. There was so much going on. But we basically touched on everything there is to say about the Everton-Villa 4-0 loss. Villa, like, get out while you still can. These guys are just terrible.
I thought Barkley looked good. He was a little lucky, maybe, to get... to score both those. So the first goal was just a great, like he was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
The assist was excellent. That was just a beautiful build up on that, on the second Lukaku goal. It really all started with De La Feo and, the great feed to Barkley, and then Barkley perfect pass to Lukaku.
Yeah.
There could have been more goals in that game. They look great. They really did look good.
The one question was, the Everton defense. I mean, given their fixture run, I think in the last couple of weeks, we here on the Always Cheating Pod have been slightly dubious of the Everton defense.
Yeah.
And we have to take into consideration they're playing the 20th place team in Villa.
Yeah, well, that is true. That is true. But it's still a Villa team that had very few players that went off for international duty and held Man City to do a nil-nil draw a couple weeks ago. So, you know, you thought they might have – that was actually – the nil-nil draw almost – it almost got in my head a little bit. And I thought, well, maybe this is like a new Villa. They're going to tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
I actually had thought about captaining Mahrez.
I thought you were going to say you thought about captaining Micah Richards.
Oh, yeah. I just thought Richards, just go for it. You know, just all the way with Richards. So
cheeky only punt.
Only 3 points out of Delafeu. Don't feel too bad about it because it does seem like he's a great long-term option. And it was really cheap. I had Kabai was the player I was looking at. I ultimately couldn't – I couldn't justify bringing in Kabai because I have a lot of – as everyone who's listened to the podcast know, my team is a complete disaster, you know, just awful. So much work to be done. And if Kabai picked up a yellow in either of the next two matches, suddenly I can't – I just – you know, I mean, I don't know. It just – you know, it didn't work out this week. And hopefully long term, even if Kabai picks up like 12 points in tomorrow's fixture, it'll even out in the end.
The last thing you needed was a huge risk at this point.
Exactly. It didn't seem worth it, you know. And Delafeu is owned by like 1% of the league. So it wasn't like I brought in – Jamie Vardy or, you know, someone who has, you know, 70% ownership in the top 10K. So, I think that's all we have to say about the Everton.
Did you watch any of this West Brom Arsenal game?
I did. I watched the last 20 minutes or so just because.
Same.
I guess I turned in right around the time of the Cazorla penalty kick.
Yeah.
Which was right around the 75th minute maybe.
What terrific like sports drama with
I felt so bad for him.
Craig Gardner getting in his ear and being a total asshole. And he did the John Terry Champions League final slip.
Yeah, I don't think it was Gardner. I mean, I think he just slipped on the grass. I mean, Cazorla is pretty tough. I mean, not like physically tough, but he seems like he's like, you know, he's played in World Cups. He's, you know,
I was looking at Cazorla and his stats and his ownership, and he's actually selected by 6.6% of FPL teams, but he's priced at 8.1, which, judging by season's past performance, Cazorla has been a pretty good FPL asset. But I have no idea how anyone can justify owning him this season. He's playing deeper. And with that missed penalty kick, he's just got red flags all over.
Yeah, I'm actually really. I guess his ownership level being that high just points to how popular Arsenal are as a club, right? Because there's no reason to have Cazorla you could have Ozil for the exact same price.
Yeah. And Ozil just keeps assisting. That's 7 games in a row for an Ozil assist and 3 bonus points in a losing effort.
That was a big one for you too. And that really worked out well because for you, because that was if that goal had gone in, then Ozil probably gets bumped down to 1 bonus point. And I think I looked at Alexis Sanchez's BPS, and I think he would have probably been on 2 bonus points if that went through. So he would have had 8 points, and I'm sure Cazorla would have picked up all 3.
Yeah.
Kind of a big swing there. I don't know.
At least Sanchez gets 3 points for an assist, which bolsters both of our teams. It doesn't help me in our head-to-head.
So we got another question from Colin Bothwell on Twitter, and he asked, are KDB and Sanchez good values with good value with others performing? And I bring this up because I'm looking at Arsenal's fixtures over the next 6 weeks. And the thing is, they're not good value. You know, they're really expensive, and they're not differentials, but they're it's risky not to own them, or certainly Sanchez. It's probably Sanchez more than KDB at this point, considering KDB is so off the boil. I mean, he did almost nothing in that Man City Liverpool game.
He was chasing the game the entire time.
Yeah, the second half he looked a little better, but you know, I think he had a bit of a scoring chance maybe like midway through the second half. But Alexis, I don't know. I mean, their next 3 fixtures are away to Norwich, who I actually kept one clean sheet 2 weeks ago. I guess that could be why George R. R. Martin didn't play too. I mean, I guess they did less personal reasons, but you know, he was suspended for a week, and they kept their first clean sheet of the season. So they might have wanted to keep that formation. He's the captain, though, so you'd think he'd be back eventually.
Yeah.
But away to Norwich, who certainly don't keep clean sheets typically, haven't 12 out of 13 weeks. Home to Sunderland, which is a game where you really have to think about captaining Sanchez, would you not? Even with so many other options, I think Sanchez at home to Sunderland
is that's really the key to the question is when Alexis Sanchez shows up, he shows up.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I mean, to be here again with Sanchez because
we're playing him out of fear at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this happened to a lot of us last year where, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, but you know, from game week 20 to 33 or something like that, he basically did nothing.
Yes, you know? Going back to what we were saying about Cazorla was the one that was sucking up all those points that Sanchez was leaving on the field at the end of the season.
And Cazorla still might. I mean, these things, it's a fluid game. Mm-hmm. Is it not, my friend?
It is very fluid.
I think that Sanchez is still a borderline must-own player given their next few fixtures. I mean, so the next three for sure. If he's still not performing, you know, I mean, you want to keep him for at home to Sunderland, I would think. And if nothing is happening still, then I think that 4 weeks from now when they're away to Man City, that would be the time to move Sanchez.
Yeah. All right. So
I mean, what do you think? I mean, because you could make an argument to – you could – downgrade Sanchez to Ozil if that 2.5 million or whatever was enough to turn one of your forwards into Aguero.
Yeah,
and that would be worth it. I think.
Would support that logic too, because going into my logic in dropping De Bruyne for Aguero, and now I have my City cover regardless.
But I think in most cases, the scenario is more like you need 5 million, and so you're turning Sanchez into someone like
a remarkably different player.
Yeah, a player who doesn't offer the same explosiveness that Sanchez does.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone's been asking about the double up with Alexis Sanchez and Ozil, which I'm doing, and it doesn't feel awkward to me at all because there are players that offer something completely different in that team.
Yep.
Ozil being the service provider and Sanchez just being a total weapon.
Yeah,
And there are other players that you double up on where they're contributing the same thing to the team.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so there's one more fixture that we want to just talk about real quick. Spurs versus West Ham. And everyone was predicting that Harry Kane was back on form, and everyone who captained him this weekend, it paid off. He got his two goals. He should have had three. Did you see the breakaway that he completely flubbed?
Yeah,
was humiliating.
Yeah, it was a weird. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it just. I mean, to be fair to him a little bit, it looks like he got caught under his feet a little bit, and then
about it too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was gonna say you could almost see his brain working. You know,
he was channeling Tim Gomes at that point. I think
he kind of was. Yeah, and it was very much like Gomes versus Arsenal a few weeks ago. But yeah, he ended up got a little lucky with the second goal. It kind of,
it snuck under Adrian a little easily, but he hit it sweetly.
I made a joke about this on Twitter, but it had to be Winston Reid's. I mean, I am a big Winston Reid supporter.
Yeah, I agree. He's a great player.
Great player. And there are times when Winston Reid is, you know, with 22 men on the pitch, he is the best player. You know, I mean, it doesn't get a lot of credits, and he's a little bit like Ashley Williams, you know, although I think Williams does get a little more credit than Reid does. But yes,
and then he's so good looking.
Because he's so good looking, and he's a Welshman.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes Reid really is the best player out there, and he can keep West Ham in games. And even if they don't, I mean, West Ham don't keep a lot of clean sheets to begin with, but he's often involved in staunching the flow.
Yeah, exactly. And much like the City defense against Liverpool, everybody made a mistake, and every West Ham defender in this game against Spurs made a mistake. They looked awful.
So, Kane looks great. So let's look at Spurs fixtures. The next...
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
I think more favorable than not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd say that Chelsea at home is not a fixture I'd be... Well, I mean, even given, it seems like Chelsea is a little ascendant now, so we'll see.
I got to remind you of Harry Kane at home against Chelsea last season.
I know, but they should be a little more ready for him this season, I would think.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that Chelsea defense with John Terry back. I mean, John Terry is a loathsome human being, but you know, he's a badass defender, and it seems like he's back to form a little bit. Hello?
Yeah. The crickets, just like crickets chirping.
I know. It's always weird when I give some praise to John Terry. It was a little bit of a backhanded compliment there, but
can't think about John Terry without thinking about the feeling I would have running into him in a bar, and how how I'd have these feelings of sort of terror, disgust, and also wanting to get a selfie with him.
Right. It would be. I think a lot of people have that experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the Chelsea fixture is not great, despite what Kane did last year. It's just not, right? Yeah. I mean, Chelsea, I can't imagine Chelsea's going to go to that game and plan to play an open style. You know, I wouldn't. I think the game's closer to like 1-1 than 3-3.
Yeah, it's a little bit like speaking of riddles, speaking about Chelsea right now. It's like, yeah, if it's the true team that shows right up B, then you'll know they'll be a Kane hat trick for thee.
They're away to West Brom, which is always a tough fixture, as we saw with Arsenal this week. Home to Newcastle, obviously a great fixture. Away to Southampton, another tough fixture. I think that Southampton loss was just kind of a fluky one. I'm not going to read too much into that.
They're not enough of a powerhouse team. That this has been Southampton for the last three seasons, right? Yeah. They are a great team that their program is building stronger and stronger. They finish higher and higher, but they will always lose a handful of fluke games.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a number of players away on the international break, including, you know, Mane, who was only able to get about 20 minutes of game time, and Pele didn't look fantastic either. So
how are you feeling about having Mane in your midfield right now, by the way?
Well, I'm a little annoyed because the reason why I hesitated to bring him in a couple weeks ago is I was worried about whether he would get the full 90 after the international break. The fact that he did 4 weeks ago made me feel a little better about it. But in hindsight, I regret it. I mean, right, I've gotten 3 points out of him in the last two game weeks.
Yeah.
I suppose I had been debating between Mane and De Bruyne. So in the end, it worked out well because that extra money was enough for me to bring in Aguero, which I do feel good about, certainly.
Yeah, there were a lot of bad decisions you could have made.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the one you made.
Yeah, exactly. And so I would have brought in Deulofeu a week earlier, and I'm not sure who I would have brought in. I mean, I might have even brought in De Bruyne this
week. I'll be curious to see how it shakes out, because the giant Deulofeu bandwagon to me feels similar to the massive Mane bandwagon that was.
But if you see Deulofeu play, I mean, that guy, he has the ball about as much as anybody in that Everton team. He may have the ball more than anybody on that team. We should try to find some possessions to that. Okay, so like in an upcoming podcast, let's do that, Brandon. Let's try to find possession statistics for each team and just try to see who's in the ball the most. Gotcha. That'd be interesting number to pull for every team. Anything else you want to say about Spurs West Ham?
Well, I guess Kane is another monkey in the works for our forward lineup. So we're talking about the must-have Lukaku, and we're considering Lukaku and Aguero sort of at the same level right now. And then Jamie Vardy, who you're bringing in, has to be considered by everyone. And now there's Harry Kane. So we basically have four must-have strikers right now in Kane, Lukaku, Vardy, and Aguero. Right. Where does Kane fit in?
I mean, I think you really could argue that it makes more sense to have Kane than Aguero right now.
Right. Given, I mean, if you're just looking at the data.
And given that he seems to be kind of a streaky scorer.
Yeah.
And he looks good. I mean, he's, you know, that whole team looks good right now.
Yeah, Kane did look just like he did last season at his best today against West Ham.
Super, lethal. And Ali looked great. It's too bad that he's out for next week.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the better games from Eriksen that I've seen for a while.
Agreed.
So I was really hoping for a third goal at the end from Eriksen, because his ownership level is so low, and I knew that would bump Kane down from three bonus points to two. But you know, you can't have everything. Yes,
I think Kyle Walker really fucked everyone who was looking for a Spurs clean sheet there.
Yeah. Joe Gunnister on Twitter, just to tie in with this question of ownership, asked, get rid of Mahrez and Vardy long term or just too good of value? And just because you brought up Vardy a moment ago,
sure.
I think those players are too good of value. I don't know. You just can't get rid of either of them right now. I don't know why. It just, I mean, you may have a week where one of two of them doesn't perform like we did with Mahrez last week, but at their price, it's really, those are irresistible prices. And they haven't, I mean, they haven't risen to the fact that even though I'm finally bringing in Vardy, as late as about anybody who's still playing the game is, right? Mm-hmm. If you're taking the game seriously and you don't have Vardy right now, you're an even bigger idiot than I am.
You're a real dummy.
Or you're equally as idiotic as I am, let's say that much. So I think I think you have to keep them. I mean, let's look at Leicester's fixtures real quick. Let me just pull these up for. I mean, okay, so the fixtures are actually about as poor as they've been for Leicester.
Yep.
All season, home to Man U, which you could still see some goals for Leicester. Away to Swansea, could also see some goals there, and then they really have their first tough run of the season, I would say.
Yeah.
Home to Chelsea. Away to Everton, away to Liverpool, home to Man City.
Yeah.
Now,
you don't want to take anything away from Vardy's achievement, but if you do look at the fixtures that they had in the last 10 games, it was very forgiving. I mean, save Arsenal, where Vardy actually scored two goals in a losing effort.
Right.
Norwich, Southampton, Crystal Palace, West Brom, Watford, Newcastle, Stoke, Villa, Bournemouth.
Yep.
So they're due.
They are due. And so I could see them dropping in that run of four games that starts. I mean, even the Man United game, you could see them losing, right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah. So it's a tough run. I think they're always going to score goals just given their style of play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to drop their defenders, all of them.
If can. Robert Huth.
If you even have them.
I have not been able to get rid of Robert Huth, and now he's on four yellows, and his value has dropped to 4.3.
Yep.
My defense is really a cluster right now.
Yeah, mine is the same way.
Speaking of judging teams, let's get to our Rate My Team. We're actually Rate My Team back. This episode of Always Cheating. And up next, we have listener Tom Hall. His team name is Released on Bail. And you can find him in the Hail Cheaters League in position 118. So he's actually doing, I think, by four spots better than the BK Broilers, my team.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you. If you beat my squad, you're surely doing well.
He is on, he's ranked in the top 400K overall. Not too bad, 376. Looks like he has 69 points all out for this game week. So definitely a green arrow week, I would think.
Great
I don't think anything tomorrow is going to change that.
Yeah.
Already above average.
His team value is also staggering. He's got a value of 104.5 million, and in the bank it's 1.2 million.
All right. So let's start off the Poku scale here. And just as a reminder, Poku is the Our beloved, what is he? Is he like an attacking midfielder? He seems like he plays a little bit in the middle. He's somewhere between an attacking midfielder and a striker on NYCFC. And
yeah, he is by all, far the, he plays all positions, Josh.
Yeah, he does.
He plays fullback. He plays defensive mid, attacking mid, goalkeeper even.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, the great Ghanaian, Kwadwo Poku. One Poku being the worst. 10 Poku being the best.
Okay, so he has his keepers are Peter Cech and McCarthy. McCarthy, obviously, we think he's done now. He hasn't played the last 7 weeks for Crystal Palace.
The most curious thing about Crystal Palace is where Julian Speroni figures into all of it. And I think the rumors are is that he's looking for a loan deal that'll happen in the January transfer window.
Yeah, I know he had a testimonial match in the summer, Speroni, so I don't really know why he's still there. It's like that Stevens Last Night in Town song from Ben Folds Fives. Whatever, Never Amen. You know, they threw the party for him, and he's still there.
He's still there. He's still there with his impeccably groomed beard, chin strap beard.
He is.
Well, yeah,
he's a brick, and he's pulling them under.
That's good. I wish I could just throw some other Ben Folds references out there, but
no, this whole thing is turning into a battle of who could care less.
Well played, sir. All right. So Peter Cech, you can't argue with that. Arsenal, their defense is among the best in the league right now. But we'll get to this when we do the Poku scale on Tom's defensive lineup. He's also doubling up here with Bellerin.
I think that Peter Cech is, you know, about as sturdy of a goalkeeper as you could have. Certainly he's kind of in that Joe Hart category where if you don't mind putting some more money into a goalkeeper, then Peter Cech's probably the one you'd pick, right? I mean, I know that you have Hart, so I don't know if you feel
I agree. I would actually rather have, on evidence by that Liverpool game, I would much rather have an Arsenal defender than a City defender right now.
Yeah, so I think that you can feel pretty confident in Cech, certainly with the run of fixtures coming up. It's always nice to have a rotation option. So McCarthy is a bit of an issue. We talked about this a little bit last week in the podcast, but I think that this is definitely now that you don't have that automatic January wild card to set your team up, I think that making a goalkeeper transfer is a more acceptable option to take, assuming that you're not going to use your other wild card until week 30X, and sort of set yourself up for a double game week.
Yep.
So I think it'd be worth bringing in. I mean, you could even make a straight McCarthy to Hennessy swap. I think that would make sense.
Yeah, and he'd make 0.1. But I mean, I don't think money is an issue for Tom right now. So I would say
Tom's loaded.
I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10.
Million in the bank.
Just for sheer lack of rotation, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Pokus in the goalkeeper area here.
Yeah, I think, I guess maybe 7, maybe 8 even, because Cech is such a set it and forget it goalkeeper.
Yeah. All right, defense. He has Bakary Sagna, Seamus Coleman, Bellerin, Danny Simpson, who had actually a great game over the weekend.
Yeah, even though we were just talking about getting rid of Leicester defenders, and I guess given what's coming for Leicester, you couldn't advocate for bringing them in. But Simpson has been great value. I mean, he's a 4.4 million defender who has started. Started the last 6 game weeks. I'm sure he's locked in now. Hit another good game with an assist against Newcastle on the road, no less. His old team, in fact.
Yeah.
I had Danny Simpson on my team, my very first Premier League team.
Yeah, it was him and Stephen Taylor who were the cheapo, occasional clean sheet guys for Newcastle that everybody had.
Ryan Taylor, too, if you recall.
Oh, yeah, Ryan Taylor. I'm confusing Stephen.
No, there are two. There are two Taylors.
Too many Taylors. That's another great Mahrez audiobook, actually. You should look that one up, Luke. He also has Ben Davies from Spurs, the former Swansea defender here on his bench. So that's a guy who was phased out of the Spurs lineup when Danny Rose came back.
Yeah, I like Coleman because I think Coleman is a, given how good their fixtures are and given that he's a bit of a differential because he's slightly, you know what? I just realized I could actually afford Coleman. That seems like the most logical move for me, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
To get rid of Morgan and Vardy and bring in Seamus Coleman and, or to get rid of Morgan and Pelé and bring in Seamus Coleman and Jamie Vardy.
It's a bit of a no-brainer. I mean, his attacking potential is Bane, Leighton Baines-esque.
You know what, Brandon? I'm going to do that as we're talking.
All right, do that.
I am making 2 transfers in real time.
Wow.
I've never done this. This is a podcast first. I'm a little scared about price changes, so I'm gonna do this before I lose my nerve. You just keep talking.
I'm gonna vamp while you transfer. All right, so I'd say this is a really terrific defensive lineup. There's lots of great rotation. Save Ben Davies here. If you're gonna transfer anybody out, it's gonna be Ben. But you're starting 3 here for game week 13 with Sagna, Coleman, Bellerin. Seemed pretty good. I mean, not knowing that Liverpool was going to completely roast the back line at City.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go 8 out of 10 Poku here.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. I hit like the wrong button, so my awesome real time transfer won't happen until later. But okay. it'll happen. given that we just talked about the Leicester fixtures, should I be a little worried about bringing in Vardy? I mean, I don't necessarily want to talk myself out of it. The problem is, if I do this Coleman move, I mean, the other option would be a Gallo, which I guess is possibly a better option.
I got to tell you, my assumption when I saw that Pelé was on suspension and he was definitely going to go out of everybody's team, my assumption was you were going to find a way to get Kane in for Pelé.
Yeah, I think I don't quite have the money to pull that move off. I need to find more money in my defense than I could find.
Well, this is a good chance to throw out our Twitter handle at Hail Cheaters. If somebody wants to suggest a move that Josh could make up front in lieu of Jamie Vardy, hit us up at Hail Cheaters.
So Gallo has three great fixtures, and then they get quite a bit worse. So if I brought in a Gallo, I'd have Aston Villa away, Norwich at home, Sunderland away. If I brought in Vardy, I have the most consistent striker in the league, but a lot of terrible fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough call.
I don't like a Gallo. No, I would not. I would not submit to that.
I think ultimately Vardy is just so cheap that I think you really have to bring him in.
Do it. His value is going to keep going up.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah. All right. I think I'm going to make those moves, but I'll wait till we're off pod.
Okay.
Well, keep this podcast under 2 hours if we can today.
Yeah. So let's not give Tom Hall the short shrift here.
I would rate a little lower in the defense because I think there's always a little bit of a – although Bakary Sagna has actually played 12 of the last 13 weeks, I think that there is a little bit of a concern that he's going to start rotating more with Zabaleta, who's back in training again.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little nervous because you have Danny Simpson with some bad fixtures coming up, Ben Davies, who's not starting anymore, and Bakary Sagna, who is a rotation risk. So I think Coleman, I think, is a great option, and Bellerin is obviously great, although – I'd be a little concerned about Bellerin, too, just because he is, you know, I think we could see some rotation there, certainly around Christmas time.
Yeah, and he's kind of playing on an injury right now.
So you might want someone who's a little more stable. You certainly have that with Coleman.
Yeah.
So I'll go like 6.5 out of 10.
Okay. Definitely a lot of money invested back there in the defense that could possibly be spread around. All right, in the midfield, Andre Ayew, Kevin De Bruyne, Alexis Sanchez, Raheem Mahrez, and Philippe Coutinho left on the bench here in game week 13.
Yeah, he has he left
Danny Simpson and Coutinho.
He left 23 points on the bench. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, you can't beat yourself up over that. That's just bad luck.
Yeah, who would you have started over Coutinho here? I guess he has Pelé as his forward maybe. But why would you not start Pelé over Coutinho away to Man City?
Yeah, and here it is again, Sanchez and De Bruyne just taking up very expensive real estate in everybody's midfield and not contributing at all.
Yeah. You know what? Coutinho has double-figure points in the last three game weeks now.
It's really incredible.
14, 10, and 13.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these midfields right now, it's kind of hard not to have a bit of a template midfield.
Yeah.
Sanchez, Mahrez, although Coutinho is a bit different, still a bit of a differential. His ownership is, he's up to 20% now. So it's a little higher than I realized.
A
bit of a hamstring issue now.
Yeah. Less a differential, but he was grinning ear to ear on the bench at the end of that Man City game. So you would expect that that's not that big of an injury problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. AU, you know, looks good again. AU really has had a very consistent season. I mean, he's had six goals and two assists on the season.
Yeah. He's had just wild swings in points where he'll get nothing and then he'll get a brace or a goal and an assist. Yeah.
But still, three goals in the last six games.
Yeah.
One assist. Let's see. Seven bonus points. So, yeah, pretty consistent for a player who's really not too expensive. I mean, 7.1 million, very affordable.
Yeah, and he's still getting transfers in. Looks like he's got close to 15,000 transfers coming in the last week.
Yeah, unfortunately, their fixtures are not awesome. They're away to Liverpool and away to Man City in their next three. So kind of a tough one, but then it gets a little softer after that. So I think this, I'll give this like a 8.5 out of 10, maybe even a 9, because Coutinho is performing so well, and the Liverpool fixtures are so good over the next few weeks.
Yep, I will go 8 out of 10. Poku, I was looking at De Bruyne to get out because he's forcing you to leave Coutinho on the bench.
Right.
And he's also preventing you from doing something up front. So let's talk about his striker lineup right now. Graziano Pelle, Jamie Vardy, and Romelu Lukaku.
So this seems like a very easy series of moves that could take place here. I think assuming that he wants to bring in Aguero, which isn't essential. I mean, you could move from Aguero, or you could move from Pelé to Kane and probably get the same value over the next several weeks, at least until Boxing Day.
Yeah, and with Tom's bank, that's an easy one transfer swap for him. No surgery required.
Yeah, so moving De Bruyne into an inexpensive fifth midfielder, and then turning Pelé into, you know, burning 4 points possibly, is probably the way to go. Let's see. So, you know, actually, so I think so. Pelé is 8.4 million. He has 1.2 million on the bench. I believe Harry Kane is 9.5 million. So you could actually bring in Kane without burning any points, and you know, you'd have him during an okay run of fixtures. You know, as we said, kind of a mixed bag. But that's probably what I would do if I had this team.
Yeah. I can see some City games coming up where Aguero could take a backseat to De Bruyne if he starts clicking with that midfield again. Yeah. I mean, God, when is David Silva coming back?
You could even argue for not making a transfer right now and just leaving Pelé on the bench for 1 week and going with the five-man midfield.
Yeah.
Although you don't really want to play AU away to Liverpool, I don't think. So yeah. Anyway, the Vardy and Lukaku are, there's no need to have any discussion there because those players are as good as you can get right now at the forward position.
I kind of have to grade this as an incomplete Poku, not knowing what he's going to do with Graziano Pelle.
All right, so we'll go incomplete. If he makes the move for Kane or Aguero, then it's probably close to like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, agreed. So well done to Released on Bail, Tom Hall's team. Looks pretty good.
Looks better than my team.
Yeah, exactly. So here's to you moving onward and upward in the Hail Cheaters Mini League. The Mini League, which you can join at our Twitter page, at Hail Cheaters, or go to alwayscheating.com and hit our league tab. Yeah, and there's also a comment form there on our site where you can send us a note to ask us to rate your team.
Yeah, we're getting back on the one team a week rotation. We're just going to do one a week and so space it out.
And there is a queue, so don't submit your team this week and expect to hear it next week.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, let's do our week 14 preview.
Yeah, step into the optimizer. It's game week 14. I'm still trying to brand that thing. Patent pending. FPL optimizer.
So I'm excited.
I can't tell if you like the optimizer or not.
Oh, I do like the optimizer. I love the way it sounds. It sounds like someone out of American Gladiators.
Yes, that sounds great. All right, take us through the fixtures here, Josh.
All right, so I'm immediately excited to see as an American that there is no 7:30 a.m. fixture on Saturday.
All right, have a good lie-in.
Although, actually, I think I'll be up because my brother is flying home early that morning. So it's one of the rare times I would actually be up around 7 a.m. regardless.
Oh, yeah. And your brother is a lovely guy, but there's nothing worse than not getting your family member out the door on time and fearing they'll miss their flight and you'll have to deal with them for another day.
He hasn't even flown in, and I'm already stressed out about it. So we'll go right to the 10 o'clock fixtures. First matchup is Aston Villa, Watford, and Micah Richards is going to make his way back into my team for this one.
Well done, Micah.
Mm-hmm. He actually looked okay in that Everton game. He actually had a couple of pretty good clearances. I felt like he was the best defender in a game where I felt like the real problem for Aston Villa was that they lacked attacking prowess. It wasn't that they looked defensively shambolic. I mean, the West Ham game today was an example of a defense that looked fucking terrible, or even even Man City. But I don't know how much of that Everton game you watched.
I didn't watch very much of it.
Yeah, I didn't feel like Aston Villa's defense was put to shame. Really, I just thought it was a great offensive performance.
Right.
So I actually think. I think Aston Villa is going to get a much-needed win in this game. They're really overdue for a win.
They sure are. I'd love it for them. I mean, it doesn't seem that you can argue they won't get relegated this season, but you don't want to see them just be utterly humiliated because it's such a great club.
Exactly. It's not looking – it's, you know, saying things like overdue, it always sounds like it's not rooted in anything, but
yeah. –
You see this a lot where a team just wills itself to win because, you know, they need a victory so badly. So I really think they're gonna put their best foot forward, and I think this is a 1-0 win.
Yeah, I hope so. Watford was really, really fortunate to even get a goal against United. That penalty call was so soft.
Yeah, that was I was so happy. Chris Smalling is one of the most known players in the league.
I was thinking of burning 4 points to get Chris Smalling in. So I was,
really?
Really pleased that I was vindicated there.
Yeah, and there's a great site, by the way, not to get too off track here, but I don't know if you've used this site before. Sorry, it's called FPL Discovery.
Oh, never heard of it. FPLDiscovery.com?
Yeah, FPLDiscovery.wordpress.com, and it's pretty simple. It's a lot of Excel charts and things like that, and you can see the intermediate results. You can see who the most selected players were. He does the top 10K and then a random sample of teams overall.
The top 10K of managers in the FPL?
That's right. Okay. And then a random sample of 20,000 other managers out of the 3 point whatever million.
Sounds cool.
It is cool. And so you can see how many points were scored from those players, who the players they picked the most were, et cetera, et cetera. It's really worth taking a look at. And so I immediately noticed that in the top 10K and overall, Chris Smalling and your defender, Nathaniel Klein, are right up there at the top.
Interesting.
Yeah, Nathaniel Klein obviously a little bit higher in the overall more in the top 10K than, you know, more people in the overall own him than in top 10K.
Yeah, you'd have to be. I mean, I feel crazy for stuck with him for so long.
Yeah, so many Liverpool fans out there, and I think that's part of why Smalling's ownership is so high. But he also is the one player who's actually consistently starting on that Man U team. So check that site out. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. All right, next fixture is Bournemouth-Everton, and here is our first captaincy option with Lukaku going against one of the most diminished defenses in the league.
If Everton scored less than 3 goals in this game, I'd be shocked.
Yeah. And it's just a question of it's the Lukaku who shows up to score goals or if it's the Lukaku to make Aruna Kone score goals.
Yeah, yeah. So there's really not much. The Bournemouth team, I feel bad for them. We saw John Mostyn, their owner.
Yeah.
It seems like a nice guy, but it's not. Bournemouth is a certainty, a dead cert to be relegated as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah. So Godspeed and good luck to them in the championship next season.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's say 3-0 Everton. That's my prediction for this one.
Yep. So, Tom, your Seamus Coleman pick looks great here.
Crystal Palace, Newcastle. Newcastle has been they're out of the relegation spots now. They've looked a little bit better. Obviously, nothing happened against Leicester.
Yeah, they looked like a total mess going forward. They didn't look as inept as a number of teams did this season, but there's no cohesion.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
And here I'm going to have to question whether I start Joe Hart or Wayne Hennessy again, and the temptation will be to put Hennessy in goal for Crystal Palace clean sheet.
It may depend on what you see from Crystal Palace tomorrow.
That is absolutely correct.
So that actually brings us right to Man City Southampton.
This could be a great always cheating sponsored by Purell hand sanitizer, Pure Watch.
I totally agree. Southampton has shown an ability. They do not seem afraid to play these top teams.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens without Pelé. I wonder if Mane might play up front. I know that Shane Long is finally back, so I guess Shane Long will probably start up front.
Yeah, I would be very optimistic if I was a Southampton fan. It'd be a nice change of pace to see a speedy guy like Shane Long stretch the defense a little bit more.
Yeah,
focus less on hold up play and more on running the channels.
Sometimes that helps. We saw it with my beloved Michigan State Spartans yesterday.
Oh, bless.
Lost. What's that?
Bless the Spartans.
Bless the Spartans.
Spartans will.
Yeah, lost their top player, and somehow they beat one of the best teams in the country.
So do you think Southampton stands a chance then? What are we predicting?
I don't think they stand a chance, but I do think that this game could be competitive.
Yeah.
I think that they could score a goal. I'm certainly planning to start Mane in this game, but I think they will probably lose 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah. I would go 3-1 on this. And of course, Aguero, we have to address that. We're probably going to shy away from armbanding Aguero in a game like this.
If you have Lukaku, he's such a tempting option. I think it'd be hard to put Captain Aguero here.
Yeah.
It's an interesting spot, actually, and I don't think I'll be doing this, even though it's kind of tempting to do it. But because people are still bringing him back in, he actually is sort of a differential captain choice, which is a rare thing for Sergio Aguero to be. But I still think that I like that Southampton defense a lot, and I can't see them putting in one of those, as good as Man City can be, I just can't see them putting in letting you know, four goals passed or anything like that. It just doesn't seem like
it's just a question of how many penalties Jose Font is ready to give.
Hey, he never gets called for penalties.
That's true. He should get called for a lot more, though. All right, next up, Sunderland versus Stoke.
Mm-hmm. God, just what a dreadful game this would be. Stoke keep getting it done.
I'm rooting for them.
Kind of sneakily, they're on 19 points. They're right in the middle of the table.
Three clean sheets in a row.
Winning tough. It's actually a fun team to root for. It's a rare thing for Stoke.
Yeah.
Just given what we, given that how long it's taken for me to shake my Pulis related thoughts about this team.
Yeah. I really don't know what to think about Sunderland right now. I'm anticipating a mild Sunderland resurgence at some point.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable, right? I mean, they have a lot of attackers.
They have a lot of gifted veteran attackers like Jermaine Defoe.
Yep,
but it could be too soon this week for that to all coalesce. Stoke will be heavily favored, I think.
Yep, I certainly would expect Stoke to win this game. I think it'll be another tight one, though. I think maybe 2-0 Stoke seems about right. I think another clean sheet could be on the cards. I'm certainly planning to start Jack Butland.
Yeah.
All right, Leicester Man U. Maybe this is the 12 for us in the U.S. This is the 12:30 game. Very excited about this game.
It should be a great game, and I hope that Leicester is able to continue their high flying scoring form.
It's very hard to predict this one. What's really cool actually is this is one versus two.
This is the battle for the top of the table.
And, who would have thought?
Yeah, and who would have thought the expectation here is that United is going to be on their heels the entire game?
Yeah.
Because if we know anything about United this season is they have jack shit going forward.
And Vardy will be going – he tied the record, right? So now he's going to break the record?
He will be going for the record outright that is currently – he's currently tied with Ruud van Nistelrooy, who was a United player when he set that record.
So they're going to be doing everything they can to get him a goal in this game, I would think.
Yes. Yeah.
Once again, I'm talking myself back into this Vardy thing. I just don't know that I could find a better option than Jamie Vardy.
It's also a story you want to get behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Leicester. Come on, Leicester. Let's get in the league.
All right. You know what? I think I'm talking myself back into this, Brandon. All right. Okay. I'm doing it right now. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Do it. Hit the button.
I have just done it. I now have Jamie Vardy on my team.
Woo! Welcome to the fold. Welcome to the fold.
Oh, it feels good. You know, it feels like I really – it had to happen, didn't it?
I think I just saw Jamie Vardy's ownership jump up from 53% to 53.1%. So you're part of a very exclusive group right now.
I'm almost bashful that it's taken this long, but you know, here we are.
So hopefully this is a bit of a slugfest and we get some goals in this game, maybe a 2-2 draw.
I actually think Leicester will win. I don't know. I don't think it'd be, I think 2-1 Leicester. That's my, I could see Man U scoring an early goal and then Leicester picking up two in the second half and kind of vintage Leicester style on this one.
But no clean sheets on either side.
I wouldn't think so.
All right. Next up on Sunday, we have Spurs versus Chelsea. That's the first Sunday kickoff.
Very interesting match. Really a test for Spurs, right? And Spurs are unbeaten in, is it, I think, 13 weeks now? Not since the game week one.
You'd expect them to show up to play. I mean, I think Dele Alli being out, Ryan Mason can easily slot into that role.
He looked terrific in the second half of that match.
He should have had himself scored a couple goals.
Yeah.
So I would not be concerned at all about that. I mean, I can't even believe we're talking about being concerned about Dele Alli being missing.
Yeah. And Spurs will be fine. And all these people bringing in Hazard, I had to laugh. I was so delighted that he has scored nothing in the last two games. I know he's played better, but it just makes me so happy not to have him score.
Yeah.
It just fills me with glee.
Moussa Dembélé continues to look awesome on Spurs. I was sad for him or any of his minuscule ownership that he didn't get any attacking points.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought he looked really good. Just a number of players looked very good on that team.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great goal from Alderweireld as well.
Oh,
great,
yeah.
Great
yeah.
headed goal.
Yeah, lost Winston Reed so easily, and just a free goal that he took so well.
Yep. All right, so maybe it's a tough one to call. I think this could be a draw. I could see it like a 2-2 draw, maybe.
Yeah, again, the riddle of Chelsea and how do you ask and how do you answer here.
Yeah.
It does seem like a game where Chelsea just shows up to spoil the party.
It certainly is possible, but I don't know who, from a fantasy perspective, which Chelsea players you want right now. I mean, I know that Diego Costa did score, but he has to miss some opportunities in that game. And, you know, I don't know, just hard to tell.
Yeah, and there's not a clean sheet for Chelsea in it. So if you are, and Azpilicueta didn't even start. Oh, yeah, I
know. He didn't start. You know, we were talking about him in the last podcast.
Yeah,
and
he was the only one you should invest in. So apologies to anyone who bought Dave on our recommendation.
It's very surprising that he didn't start. He had started every match through the. Maybe he was just due for a rest. I mean, that's certainly possible.
Yeah,
and I think he did. He did travel with the Spanish team, so maybe it was just he had to rest eventually. And home to Norwich is probably the best time to do it.
Could be. All right, so no Chelsea investment here, but Spurs, you should still be feeling good despite them going up against last year's winners.
West Ham, West Brom. I was glad to see is the next fixture. I was glad to see Lanzini pick up a goal.
I guess so. He was largely invisible the entire game, and it looked like they were trying to slot him into that Payet role, and he was overwhelmed.
I'm just glad that he scored because I feel bad for West Ham losing Payet, and so it feels like that will give them – it was a nice moment for them. It was also very delightful as a fantasy player because I don't have any Spurs defenders, and a lot of people do. So it was really I had to laugh when he scored that goal.
I felt the exact same way. It was a really well-taken goal.
It was a well-taken goal. And just for despondent West Ham fans – the attack actually looked pretty good. They had a couple chances. Sakho, I thought, looked really good in the match.
He was really active, and it's exciting to see Alex Song finally back, and he will definitely be a much-needed creative force in that midfield without Payet.
I think so, too. I think the defense has to tighten up, though. I don't know. I would expect something to happen this week. I wouldn't be surprised if Winston Reid didn't play next week.
Or Carl Jenkinson looks like a complete mannequin out there.
Yeah, so I think – but I do think West Ham will win this game. I think they'll win maybe 2-1.
Yeah, West Brom at home is a good fixture for West Ham because West Brom doesn't offer a whole lot going forward.
Yep. Okay, so now on to more interesting fixtures. Liverpool-Swansea. I think we'll both be starting our Liverpool players in this game. Will you be starting Andre Ayew, do you think? I guess you're going
to
have to.
I will have to because my Dele Alli transfer is sort of fizzled immediately.
Is there anything less fun than having a pretty good attacking player going up against you've got one of your better defender options this week?
Yeah.
You know, it
makes me feel good because I will presumably win either way. Either I get a clean sheet from Nathaniel Klein. Or, I mean, it's guaranteed if Swansea score a goal, Ayew will be involved.
That's true.
I go into it with that sort of optimistic viewpoint.
Okay, that's true. The Ayew-Shelby link-up play is actually look pretty good. So I could see a Swansea goal in this game.
Yeah, but save Gary.
Yeah.
Save Gary Monk. Save his job.
Yeah, and Martin Skrtel's looked excellent the last several weeks, and so I expect several more goals from him in this game. 5 or 6, maybe 10.
I mean, that's kind of an understatement. I mean, that guy has got it. He looks the best central defender in the league right now.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens to Liverpool over the next several weeks. I mean, Benteke can't come off the bench every week, right? And I know Sturridge. I think Sturridge would have started had he not been a bit of a doubt. But you know, I mean, I don't know. Just
Klopp
I don't
is savvy really, enough to know. I think what, there will be fixtures where Benteke will benefit that team, and others like this Man City game where he won't. I think he'll get his due.
But Firmino has to be a sure starter for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a little expensive, you know. It's hard to. He's not a great fantasy option because I think he's over 8 million still. He's kind of a, you know, he was priced a little high coming into the league this year. I know they paid a lot of money for him, but it seems like he was a little overpriced.
Yeah, and it's taken him too long to come into that team to warrant that price. Coutinho is by far the better option.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So, yeah, but that seems like a sure Liverpool win, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, easily. God, I hate to predict this one, given my defensive situation and my IU situation, but I'll go 3-0 in favor of Liverpool.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I'll say 3-1, just because I could see Swansea has a tendency to get a counterattacking goal.
Come on, Jefferson Montero.
That brings us to the final fixture of the game week. Norwich host Arsenal. Seems like a bounce back game for Arsenal.
If there ever was one, for sure.
Yeah, they will be coming off a Champions League game, and could be a very big Champions League game, one way or the other. So if they win that game, if Arsenal lose their Champions League game on Tuesday, they are officially out of the Champions League, and then actually they may not even make the Europa League, depending on everything else works out.
Thank God, if you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, seriously. But if they win the midweek game and they're still in for the Champions League, and I think all they'd have to do is beat Olympiacos, assuming that. That Bayern Munich kills them, which I expect them to do. I don't mean to go down this road. Basically, Arsenal could be feeling very good about themselves going into this fixture, and they're going to want to get the taste of that West Brom game out of their mouth.
Absolutely, and the league is surely so much more important to Wenger at this point.
Yeah, a tough fixture, and I think Sani Cazorla could see. Doesn't this feel like a game where you could just see Cazorla getting like 12 points or something just to make up for what he did? He's the kind of guy who it feels like I felt really bad for him because he just seems like such a good dude.
Yeah. I'm predicting a brace for Giroud in this game.
Okay. I'm going to predict an assist and like 2 bonus points for Cazorla in this game.
All right.
And a Dea Mercy Mbappé goal and a 3-1 Arsenal win.
Well, like a diving header Mbappé?
It's actually going to be a scorpion kick.
Oh, my. He is such an ambitious player, Mbappé.
Yes. He should try more conventional shots sometimes, too.
He'd score more goals if he did, I'm guessing. As difficult as it would be to score more than Mbappé already does.
That's true.
What a player.
Great player.
Well, there's your optimizer for game week 14. We do wish all of our cheaters out there the best of luck. And good luck to you, Josh, as we go into our deciding Crystal Palace Sunderland game tomorrow. I'm hoping for a clean sheet.
Yeah, thanks. You, me, and Jamie Vardy. I'm excited. It is awesome. Fun to have on my team. It's a relief. Yeah, I've been avoiding Leicester matches for like 6 weeks because I couldn't deal with it. I would have brought him in. You know, it was a structural problem. You know, I had these two defenders that I just couldn't get rid of.
Yeah.
I should have just burned like 8 points several weeks ago and just brought, you know, that would have been the way to do it.
Yeah, that was what I had to do with Mark Albrighton some time ago.
Yeah. All right, Brandon. Well, hail cheaters.
Yeah, Poku forever. And please don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher Radio. And do leave us a review if you could. That'd be great.
That would be great. And we're at Hail Cheaters on Twitter.
Yeah, constant dialogue happening there. Send us your questions or your comments. And we'd love to hear from you.
All right, Brandon. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Bye-bye.
Bye.